Yeah, you could tell her she is missed. It's good to see your faces out there today. We, as Paul said, thank you to everyone. The guys out in the parking lot, everyone who prayed, everyone who helped all week setting up and cleaning up and just being an awesome church. I thank God for you. The love of Christ you've shown. I know the Johnson family, they couldn't stop thanking us enough. And me, I thank you so much. So proud of you guys this week. It's a tough week. But we are going to celebrate our Savior, right? We're here to celebrate, right? It's not just our Lord and wonderful and sing these great songs when it's a good time. But, you know, though you slay me, yet I will praise you, right? So that's what we are going to do. The title of today's message is the Sunrise. And as I was going over it this morning, I realized, man, I'm going to say sunrise a bunch. And it's probably going to get confusing if I mean the sunrise or the sunrise. So I'll try to separate. Maybe I'll just point when I mean him. Last night, sunset was at 4:54 p.m. That's ridiculous. Right? That's so early. I mean, the kids are like just getting off the school bus in the dark. It can get depressing this time of year, right? Especially you start getting all the clouds all day and then the early darkness, and it makes you feel a little bit sad. We've got this cross here, and we have our Christmas lights in the house, and they are on automatic timers to come on at sunset. So it's like right when it's getting dark, it's like boom. And there's light, and it's wonderful. It's nice just when those things pop on, the room lights up, the mood changes a little bit, you see more clearly, everything's immediately better. Light is a gift. Light is a gift. Jesus is called the light of the world. He lights up darkness. He changes everything. From the beginning, there was darkness, and then God made light. He said, let there be light. When the world was darkness, thousands of years later, as bad as it could be, his star signaled the dawning of the great light. So as we prepare him room in our hearts this time of year, let's gaze upon the great light. That's what we should do in times of darkness. We tend to wallow in the darkness. That's natural. We tend to think about how bad things are in the darkness. And that's natural. But we've got a great light. And that's where we need to turn. When the world was darkness, he was light. When you were lost in your sin, in darkness, he shone a great light into your heart. And when darkness creeps all around you, his light shines brighter. And one day, one glorious day, his light will kill the darkness altogether. Luke 1, 78 and 79. There's a lot of verses in Luke chapter 1. This is not any point of the sermon. I was just realizing that. 78 and 79. Nobody cares but me. All right. It says, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So first, in a time of darkness, light. The New Testament starts out in a time of darkness, spiritual darkness. It's been 400 years since the Old Testament canon closed. It's been 400 years since the people of God last heard from God through his holy prophets, right? And there's two times that Luke mentions, and I thought it's quite fitting that symbolizes this time of darkness. The beginning of Luke 1:5 says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, right? This is what's going on in the place where God's people are. It's not about God. It's in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. Also in Luke chapter 2, the beginning of it, it says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So you've got Herod, and you've got Caesar Augustus. Luke's birth narrative of Jesus reminds us that the world was in darkness. Herod represented everything that was wrong with the world that God's people lived in. They were being ruled by someone who wasn't even their own. Being ruled by evil. Being ruled by greed. Being ruled by lust. Being ruled by covetousness. This was what characterized the days of King Herod in which Jesus was born. It also was the time of Caesar Augustus, a mere man who labeled himself as Son of God, as a savior, as a bringer of peace. He was the ruler and the king of most of the known world. That's how someone who can have the audacity to say the whole world must be registered and report back to me. These were the rulers in charge during the time, a time that Isaiah prophesied about hundreds of years earlier, when this thick darkness would cover the world. Imagine how, hundreds of years earlier, Isaiah prophesies about this, which I'm about ready to read. And so God's people are waiting in anticipation for this to happen. When is this going to happen? When is this going to come? And here's what he said, Isaiah 60. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is when God chose to come, and that's how he said he was going to do it. It wasn't going to be a time when everyone's getting along out there in the world, but a time when things are as dark as could be. That's when he chose to come, just like creation, when it was as dark as could be. And he said, let there be light. The light of the world enters into human history 2,000 years ago, and the world will never be the same again. How wonderful a feeling is it when, and I just got a glimpse of it, when it's overcast, right? And then the sun pops out and shines, especially after we've had like days of it, right? We've had days, and then you have one sunny day, and it's almost like, what's that thing? You know, let me get my sunglasses out. This is what the people of God should have felt. That's what they should have felt. They've been waiting in anticipation, and now he comes, right? And some recognize it. Some, no, the magi from the east, the shepherds, some recognize what's going on. But the true light, 1 John 1:9-13, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The true people of God will see this great light, and they will be called children of the Most High God. So that's where this prophecy comes about. But Isaiah talked about this time and when it's going to happen. When the people in darkness have seen a great light. In the beginning of Isaiah chapter 9, he says, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us is a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And the throne of David, on the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So darkness over the land, darkness over the deep. God says, let there be light. Thick spiritual darkness covered the earth. Then the true light came. Then Isaiah prophesied about something that was bigger than that. Just a mere physical showing up, but it's a different kind of arrival. It was the establishment of a spiritual kingdom. It was a change. It was a rescue that was happening. For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and of peace will be no end. What kind of light is this? It's not just mere arrival of a great person. It's something different. Something that's going to last forever. That's what Isaiah is talking about. This rescue of God's people. It's one that comes from the heart. This is why his own people were rejecting him, because they were expecting someone to rescue them from Herod, rescue them from the Romans. But his rescue is much greater than that. It comes from the heart. The peace that he is the prince of is the peace between God and man. That's the peace that we need, right? When we sing about that. We make ourselves his enemies, every one of us. When John said that he'll be born not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit, when he says all who did receive him, believe in his name, he came the right, gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. It means this is God's doing. We sin against God constantly. I would love it if our sins against God were just before we become Christians. Right? It crushes us when we sin as Christians. But we sin against God, past, present, future sins, and he came to take the punishment that we deserve for those sins. In doing so, when we look upon him and when we look upon the cross, when we ask for forgiveness, when we believe in our hearts that that life he lived was the life we should have lived, that righteous life in our place. And the death that he took on the cross was for our sins. We believe in that. You personally, not just generally our sins, but those are my sins that nailed him to the cross. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. And we go from being enemies of God to being at peace with God. And he's the Prince of Peace, and this is the peace that he brings. We're in the darkness of our sin. And there's no light that can rescue us, right, from our sin. There's nothing that can make it better between us and God. There's nothing that's going to make those things go away. Even though man may have forgotten things that you've done, God doesn't. And nothing can make that go away, and there's no making up for it. The only way we can be right with God, have peace with God, is through Jesus Christ, through the light of the world. Candles can burn out. These lights need electricity. Even clouds cover up moon and stars. We need the sunrise, right? We need his light. That's the light that we need. Have you seen that light? None of this Christmas matters if you don't have that. So what's crazy about this time of year, right? Not time for us to be bitter and moody. Jesus is the reason for the season. He is. But it's crazy that so much is celebrated about Christmas, and none of it matters if you don't have the gospel. There's no peace on earth. When you die, there's no rest in peace. Unless you have Jesus Christ, who's forgiven you of your sins. So you, here, hearing my voice, do you have that? Have you cried out to him for forgiveness? Are you trusting in his work on the cross? That it was for your sins. There's no anything, all the blessings that come after that, right? Of the relationship with Jesus. There's no removal of fear, no removal of anxiety, no removal of worry, no freedom from death and sin. There's nothing without the Holy Spirit revealing to you that you dwell in great darkness, in the darkness of your sin, and that Jesus is that great light to shine upon you. Nothing. But once you do have that, you'll never walk in darkness again. That darkness, even though you walk through times of darkness, the light of the world shines upon you. John 1, 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So once he's called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, the darkness never overcomes you again. There's never a time where your sin overcomes you again. He's paid the price for past sins, for present sins, for future sins. Now that doesn't mean we live. We say, okay, all this is paid for. Let me live. However, that shows a heart that truly hasn't been changed, right? Because a heart that is changed, that is truly grasping hold of that forgiveness, wants to live for him now, wants to fight to be holy, right? The true evidence of a Christian isn't that we're perfect, but we're in that battle. We want to strive to be holy out of love for God. So he's called you out of the darkness. He's called you into the light. And the darkness no longer rules over you. Yes, we're going to walk through dark times, right? It's a dark week. Pain and suffering of life. This can be a dark time of year. It really can. The Christmas season, the new year, when we talk about getting excited about new stuff, and we can be in the darkness of remembering the things that we've lost and the things that we don't have, the people that we've lost. Struggle with sin. Struggle with seasons of sin in our life. So we walk through dark times even as believers, but we're never alone. We're never alone in those dark times. And when we shine the light of Jesus into our darkness, into our troubles, when we truly shine the light of Jesus into our suffering, and into our sin, and into our temptation, the darkness doesn't stand a chance. Right? No reasoning can make you okay with horrible things that have happened, tragic things that have happened. But only Jesus can bring that kind of comfort in the darkness and in those dark times. So we got to suffer with him. We got to keep pressing into him. We got to keep asking him to shine into our hearts, to lift up our eyes, to lift up our faces in these times. In times of sin, right? It's times of temptation. We can do all of the practical things in the world, right? We can lock our phones down and our computers down and not go out of the house. But temptation will find you, right? Monasticism, monks, they thought that this was going to be the answer, to get away from the world and build these communities where, you know, only Christians could come in and only people who were dedicated to living for Jesus. And then we'll keep all the sin out there and we'll only have us in here. Well, guess what? The sin's in here, right? And the only way to fight temptation and to fight sin is to shine the light of Jesus upon it. It's the only way. Darkness won't stand a chance. Like the morning sun coming up and shining brightly onto our day, darkness has not and will never overcome the light of Christ. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." Weeping's going to happen. Hard times are going to happen. Difficult times are going to happen. We're no different from the rest of the world in that. We don't avoid sickness and diseases and tragedies just because we're Christians. That's something that all of mankind deals with in this sinful world until Jesus returns. But we have the joy of the Son. We know that because we have him, that weeping may tarry for the night. You may cry all night long, but joy comes in the morning. So let me plead with you, especially if you are in the midst of darkness, if you have sufferings in life right now, the darkness of sin, the darkness that comes with loneliness, the darkness of depression, that's made your world seem cold and without light. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill your world with Jesus Christ. Pray to him. Find comfort in his words. Find hope in his promises. Let him use his people to bring his light into your life. That's what he did this week in our church. Right? Dark week, we're praying to him. We're praying in here Sunday. It's not that he didn't answer prayers. Church come together. People come love on each other. Care for each other. Checking on each other. Calling each other. Texting. That's the love of Jesus shining through his people. Right? Amen. We should see that. We should recognize that. And we should give God the glory for that. That's wonderful. It's not, oh, you're such a great person, you did this. No, that's God doing those things. God is at work in our church. We've seen the great light. And that light is the light of men, and it will never depart from us. And the sunrise, will come again. There's one more way in which the light of the world blesses us. There's one more way that the sunrise outside reminds us of the sun's rise. Just as the sun sets tonight, And we know that it'll come again. Unless Jesus comes back first, that it will come again. Let that remind you that he will come again. He will be back. As certain as you are that when you go to sleep, that the sun's going to come up in the morning, it's even more certain that he will return. One day, this long dark day will be over and death will no longer exist. Death will no longer exist. Night and darkness will end. The Son of God will return and put an end to those things forever, and then the sun will never set again. Revelation 21, 22, 25, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. That's going to be great. That's going to be great. God has given us these great gifts of darkness and light and sunset and sunrise to teach us about his Son. They aren't just things that happen out there. They should remind us about how great Jesus is. I've said this before, man. When my kids come in here to, get something, let's say, they've left something like a bicycle helmet on their chair, and they come up tonight to get it, and they turn on every light in this church. All right? They can't stand the darkness. They don't want it. Nah, send it back up. Turn it off. Turn it, But let light, when we turn on the light, let us that remind us of Jesus. When we see the sun come up, let that remind us of Jesus. When it's dark, right? Have you ever been in like real darkness, like out in the country where there's, you can see the stars, right? And it's real dark, and it's real quiet, right? Let darkness remind you that darkness will not overcome the light. Darkness will not overcome the light. So let these things not just be facts about this world that God created, but reminders to you of how great our Savior is, how much he's a part of our lives and a part of our world, and how he's never leaving, has never left us. Remember them. Let the sunrise remind you of the coming of the Lord Jesus, remind you of his birth. Let the light of day remind you that you once walked in darkness, but he has shown you the great light. So now you walk in the light. Let the solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars remind you that the sun never goes away, right? We say the sun is down or the sun is set, which is our reality of what we're seeing in life, but really, we're just faced away from the sun, right? So when you think about that, let that remind you that the sun's never gone away. We may be faced away from it so that it seems dark, but it never goes away. It's always there, like our great light, Jesus Christ. Let the truth that it rises every day, and that we can count on it rising every day, remind us that we can count on the fact that the light of the world will return again, and death and darkness will be no more. The great light of the Son of God was born in Bethlehem, ushering light into a world of darkness. Partly, right? The start of it. That was only the beginning. He had to live the sinless life. He had to die a death for sin. And then the sun had to rise again so that darkness would not overcome us. As we celebrate Advent this year, I want the sunrise and the sun's rise to remind us of God's plan. We celebrate his birth pretty soon. And that's wonderful, right? And then new year after that, it's like new birth. And we walk in this newness. And then what happens? We got like 3 cold, dark months until Easter, until spring. And that's fitting, right? It's coming, right? And we'll go through darkness and we'll walk through darkness, but spring is coming. And we know that. And Easter's coming. And the reason why he came is coming. But we got to walk through that time of darkness. But we're never alone in that darkness. We always have the light, and the light of God. When in these months, just remember that he never leaves us. When we're in the darkness, he is our light. When we're in our times of darkness, he is our sun. He is our hope. When the world seems dark with strife and turmoil and evil, know this and remember this, that one day the trumpet will sound. One day the sunrise will be permanent, will never set again. Death will be no more. Darkness will be no more. Night will be no more. And we will dwell in the light of his glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Light of the world. May the fact that we have light remind us that we have light. Let the fact that we sit in light and can turn on lights or light candles or see the sunrise remind us that we, because you shone into our hearts, will never walk in darkness again. And when we are in that times of darkness, either by our own doing and our sin and our temptations, or because the tragedies and the sufferings and of this world and sin of other people in our lives, let us remember that you are our light, and to turn to our light and turn on our light and sit in the light and reach for the light. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for lighting up our world this week. Thank you for lighting up our day this day. Help us to rejoice at the celebration of your birth, knowing that the light has dawned in our hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen.